Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, and as always, I've got my co-host Cor here with me.
Hey Jack, hey everyone. Buckle up, because today we've got a ton of exciting stuff to cover. We're diving into the latest breakthroughs in AI, some bustling business moves, and of course, we can't ignore what's happening on the political front.
Absolutely. So first off, have you checked out the latest in Web 3.0? There's some mind-blowing developments, and I have to say, even 5 years ago, we wouldn't have predicted this rapid progress.
Totally, Jack. And along with that, it's impossible to ignore the ripple effects these advances are having on businesses. We've seen some major companies pivoting strategies as they adapt to new tech.
For sure. Plus, we'll be dissecting how policymakers are reacting to all these changes. Spoiler alert, it's a mixed bag.
Clearly, from the tech revolution to the political scene, it's all interconnected. And let's be honest, the political players either help accelerate innovation or throw roadblocks in the way.
Right on, Cor. And beyond the serious stuff, we've got some hilarious tech blunders that you wouldn't believe. Let's just say startups sometimes learn the hard way.
Oh, you bet. So stay with us, folks. You're in for a wild ride today. We've got debates, laughs, and maybe a few heated exchanges.
Just the way we like it. All right, shall we dive in?
Absolutely. Let's get this show on the road.
All right, Cor, let's dive into this intriguing directory structure and the whole cryptography landscape. It's always fascinating to see how deeply these elements are embedded into the fabric of our operating systems and development environments.
Absolutely. When you look at directories like /crypto or /secure, it reminds you just how integral encryption has become in modern computing. I mean, every time we handle a secure connection or encrypt data, it's this underlying structure doing the heavy lifting.
Right. But it's not just about encryption in isolation. Think about OpenSSL's integration, for instance. It's a cornerstone of so many encryption projects. How often have you seen dependency graphs in projects where OpenSSL isn't mentioned?
Honestly, it's omnipresent. Something as mundane as serving a secure web page leans heavily on these libraries. And speaking of libraries, did you hear about that DuckDB incorporation of OpenSSL post their embed TLS issue?
Yeah, that was quite a move. Having to disable writing to databases in Mumbed TLS mode must have been a tricky decision, but the right one, given security is at stake. Using OpenSSL by default when that extension is loaded makes total sense.
It really underscores the tension between adopting new tools and ensuring they're rock solid. And speaking of solid, those guys over at Go Cryptography seem to have nailed a great balance. Their shift towards post-quantum cryptography to future-proof systems is a stellar example.
Oh, definitely. I think the post-quantum key exchange they added, MLKM, is particularly interesting. Post-quantum cryptography gets a bad rap for being slow. But the reality is, it's quite speedy, just a bit large in terms of the data packets.
It's hilarious, though, how they had to hash old and new cryptographic methods together because of the ever-looming fear that our new, shiny algorithm might get cracked on someone's laptop. It's like using both a padlock and a digital lock on your door.
And that defense they're building into Go's crypto libraries, like hedged ECDSA, really showcases their commitment. Ensuring the random number generation is as foolproof as possible by combining randomness and deterministic processes is just smart.
Totally. Plus, they made key generation faster and more secure in Go, stripping away the old math/big dependencies. But how about those FIPS 140-3 Go cryptographic modules? Making Go compatible without boring crypto and CGO was no small feat.
And you've got to appreciate how they extracted the necessary packages and fenced them beautifully for FIPS validation. Plus, this boosts compliance without changing the observable behavior of apps. That's a clean, elegant solution.
That kind of seamless user experience is critical, especially in a field that's as complex as cryptography. It's no use building the world's most secure system if developers can't implement or integrate it without pulling their hair out.
True. Speaking of pulling hair out, let's not forget the directory breakdown. System libraries under lib, user commands in userrbin, and even the rescue utilities built to ensure system recovery, it's all so interconnected.
Exactly. Like, every piece has its role, ensuring the system's robustness. And with how everything's fragmented in today's multi-chain ecosystem, seamless integration like what's proposed for the Ethereum interoperability layer is essential.
Indeed, it's all about making systems robust yet user-friendly. Until next time, let's keep unraveling these layers, one command at a time. All right, Cor, So today, QuickShare is finally working with AirDrop. This is massive for all those Android and iPhone users out there who've struggled with transferring files between devices. What are your thoughts?
Oh, Jack, this is long overdue. As an Android user, I've always envied AirDrop's simplicity on Apple devices. And now, with QuickShare and AirDrop playing nice together, it's going to save so much time and hassle. Imagine no more awkward moments fumbling around trying to email pictures to iPhone friends.
Plus, it's starting with the Pixel 10 family today. I guess this is Google's way of saying, sorry, Apple, but we're here to stay. I also can't help but think about all the business implications. This collaboration could push more mixed device environments to consider deeper integrations without worrying about compatibility.
Absolutely. And speaking of integrations, did you hear about RavenOS? This new open source OS project is aiming to provide a macOS-like experience on non-Apple hardware. Building on FreeBSD, it's teaching old Macs some new tricks beyond what Apple ever thought possible.
RavenOS is an intriguing project. It's like giving the collective power of the open source community a chance to directly compete with the polished but closed ecosystem of Apple. It'll be interesting to see if developers and users actually adopt it, or if it's just a niche hobbyist dream come true.
True. I mean, the open source community has given us some incredible things, but getting people to switch their daily driver OS is a big hurdle. By the way, what do you think about Kagi's approach to AI assistance? Their philosophy that AI should enhance, not replace human experience, really stands against the tidal wave of automation we're seeing.
I really respect that viewpoint. With so many companies pushing for fully autonomous AI, it's nice to see someone focusing on collaboration instead of replacement. AI is a research assistant that encourages you to dig deeper and verify instead of just trusting the text blindly is a really smart approach. Let's face it, we've all seen AI make hilarious, and sometimes concerning, mistakes.
Oh, absolutely. The idea of using AI to accelerate research while keeping humans at the wheel sounds much more reliable and safe. It's like making AI a valuable team player instead of a rogue superstar. Speaking of AI, did you catch the latest developments with Pony.ai and their autonomous trucks?
Yep, Pony. AI's partnerships with Sany and Dongfeng to develop autonomous all-electric trucks is pretty wild. They're targeting mass production soon, which suggests they're super confident in their tech. Autonomous trucking has the potential to revolutionize logistics, but we need to see more real-world data on safety and efficiency before it becomes mainstream.
Exactly. Bringing AI into heavy-duty trucking is compelling, but we're talking about massive vehicles that need to be reliable under all conditions. But wait, before we move on, how about Google's new moves in India with AI-powered scam detection? That seems like a game changer.
Oh, for sure. Scam detection directly on devices and screen sharing alerts for financial apps are brilliant moves. Google's tackling a real issue in India, where digital scams are on the rise. It's impressive how they're addressing local issues with tailored technology, you know?
Definitely. It's a necessary step considering how sophisticated scams are getting. And staying on the legal front, it seems like Joby and Archer Aviation are throwing down over stolen trade secrets. High stakes in the electric air taxi race, huh?
Yeah, that lawsuit is wild. These companies are racing to be the first to deploy electric air taxis commercially, and any advantage, fair or foul, could mean billions. It reminds me of the tech wars in the early 2000s. High tech, high risk, and high drama.
And let's not forget the irony here, Jack. We're talking about futuristic flying vehicles, and yet the cutthroat business tactics remain as ancient as ever. Speaking of high stakes, OpenAI's ChatGPT group chats turning the chatbot into a social platform is just another layer of how interconnected our lives are becoming with AI.
OpenAI is turning ChatGPT into more of a collaborative space, where people can plan trips, co-write documents, and work through research. It's fascinating how far chatbots have come from being simple Q&A tools to becoming fully fledged members of our digital lives.
Yeah, it's almost like we're living in a sci-fi movie, but it raises questions about privacy and over-reliance. It's vital to strike the right balance between convenience and security. Anyway, do you think the integration of AI in these areas can help Google and other tech giants stay ahead in this rapidly evolving market?
It sure can, Core. By integrating AI in ways that enhance user experience and provide practical solutions to real-world problems, companies can leverage AI without falling victim to overhyped expectations. This blend of practical use and innovation could be the secret sauce to staying ahead.
Amen to that. It's a dynamic, fast-paced world out there, and it seems every move, tech enhancement, or legal scuffle just layers on more complexity. It's both exciting and challenging to keep up with. But hey, that's why we're here, right?
You got it, Cor. So much to talk about, so little time. I guess we'll have to save some of this juicy stuff for our next episode. So, these Border Patrol cameras and license plate readers, they're saying it's all about safety and stopping criminal activities like drug trafficking and human smuggling. But honestly, I'm getting strong Big Brother vibes from this setup. What about you, Cor? How do you feel about this data collection from both borders?
I totally get where you're coming from, Jack. It's like, on the one hand, they need to secure our borders and stop illegal activities. But on the other, the sheer volume of data they're collecting, images of license plates, tracking movements, it feels pretty invasive. The question is, are they overstepping?
Yeah, and it's not just invasive. Who's keeping track of how this data is being used? Sure, they say it's governed by a stringent, multi-layered policy framework, but how many times have we heard that before? And we all know how these things can slip through the cracks.
Exactly. There's that famous saying, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. With the tools at their disposal now, it's crucial that there are robust checks and balances. Otherwise, we drift into a surveillance state. It's like renting a car near the border or, God forbid, taking a country road can't automatically implicate you in a crime.
And it's not just the southern border. They're doing this up north near Canada, too. I mean, who thinks that crossing into Canada for some poutine and a mocha from Tim Hortons is a criminal activity?
Laughs. I know, right? But seriously, let's talk about those algorithms quickly. They claim the system flags unusual patterns of life. How reliable can this be? An algorithm determining if my road trip itinerary is suspicious?
It's both fascinating and terrifying, honestly. We're putting a lot of faith in these algorithms. And as someone who's dug into machine learning, I can tell you these systems are far from infallible. They're only as good as the data fed into them and the biases of their creators.
Oh, for sure. And let's not forget about false positives. I mean, let's say someone likes to take a weird route home from work every day because they want to avoid traffic. Suddenly, they're flagged and boom, they're under scrutiny without any actual wrongdoing. What happens then?
You bring up a crucial point, Cor. This isn't just a tech issue. It's a policy and rights issue. Look at Europe's GDPR. They are hardcore about data protection and privacy. Maybe it's time the U.S. adopted a bit of that spirit?
Couldn't agree more. There's a reason why privacy laws are gaining traction globally. Governments need to understand technology is a tool for good, but without proper governance, it can definitely backfire. The balance between surveillance for safety and invasion of personal freedom is a delicate one.
And did you catch that last bit about the shutdown and Senate Democrats pushing back on the DeFi provisions? Somehow, this tech topic always bleeds into politics, huh?
It's inevitable. Technology, money, politics, they're intertwined like a pretzel. Speaking of which, what's your take on the NFT market right now? Seeing those punks drop 2%, but Pudgy Penguins and BAYC holding steady?
NFTs, they never cease to amaze me. It's like watching the stock market, but with memes and digital art. I see potential, but there's tons of volatility. It's a roller coaster for sure.
Absolutely. It's all about those communities and what kind of value they attach to these tokens. All of it shows how tightly connected our world has become, from border security to digital penguins. It's all part of the same vast mesh.
Man, what a time to be alive. From border cameras to the Wild West of NFTs, we're in for quite a ride.
No kidding. And with that, let's shift gears a bit. What do you think about TeamViewer's new agentic tech initiative, Tia? A step toward workplaces where tech just works seamlessly, supposedly.
Let's dive right in. So, Cor, a bit of a pivot here, but tied in with our earlier discussion about cryptographic keys. How do you see the future of digital signatures unfolding in our increasingly quantum-threatened world?
Great point, Jack. I think it's clear that digital signatures aren't as urgent to update as key exchanges, primarily because quantum computers can't retroactively forge signatures. But that doesn't mean we should complacently twiddle our thumbs, right?
Absolutely. We may not have the clock ticking down as dramatically, but the infrastructure needed to handle new digital signatures, the larger data sizes, the protocol updates, that's a significant overhaul.
Exactly. Right now, we're using ECDSA, that's Elliptic Curve Digital Signature Algorithm for you non-crypto geeks, and it's lightweight. Our current internet infrastructure is built with these efficiencies in mind. That's why we can't just snap our fingers and swap in a new digital signature algorithm, particularly larger ones needed to be quantum safe.
Yep. The data overhead is huge. We're talking signing something as simple as a website connection, where today's signatures are, say, 64 bytes. Imagine bloating those to 2 kilobytes each. Multiply that over millions of connections every day. It's a logistical nightmare.
Spot on, Jack. Quick personal anecdote. Remember when the whole internet sort of updated to include HTTPS everywhere? It seemed simple from a user perspective, but the reality was years of behind-the-scenes work to get systems ready for those changes. And these new signatures? Probably more complicated.
Oh man, don't remind me. I had to manage so many late-night server updates. But there's the crux. It's not just the size of the digital signatures that needs to evolve. Our entire approach to network security needs a rethink. We need to build protocols that accommodate these quantum-resistant measures efficiently.
Right. And while we're slowly moving towards it, you can't ignore other big tech stories popping up every day. Like, have you heard about Huawei's new Mate 80 series with that outdoor exploration mode? They're promising a whopping 14 days of battery life. Impressive, right?
Yeah, that's a game changer for sure. And talking about endurance, did you see the digital fraud stats from India? Unreal. With 70 billion Indian rupees in losses within the first 5 months of 2025. It seems like fraudsters are always a step ahead in this digital game.
True. Google's DigiKavach campaign is a step in the right direction, but there's still a lot of catching up to do. Misleading apps on app stores are a huge culprit. It's like playing whack-a-mole. Once you think you've gotten rid of one, 10 more pop up.
Tell me about it. It's crucial that not just consumers, but businesses too stay ahead of the curve. Speaking of staying ahead, have you been following the latest with Blue Origin?
You mean the potential launch of their uncrewed Blue Moon Mark 1 lunar lander? That's something fascinating, no doubt. I mean, lunar exploration has always been this Hollywood-like dream, but seeing it come to life, every launch brings us closer to more frequent extraterrestrial missions.
Exactly. And it shows the diverse challenges and advancements simultaneously. From battling quantum threats to exploring the moon, it's all part of this mad, fast-paced race we're in.
And cycles back to how every sector, whether it's tech security or space tech, influences another. It's an interconnected web. We have to be prepared for everything, whether that means updating our cryptographic standards or ensuring our astronauts' equipment endures harsh space conditions.
Perfectly put. It's exciting and daunting, but that's the future we're navigating. As they say, never a dull moment in tech, right?
Absolutely. We have a lot more to unpack, but man, if only we had that 14-day battery life for ourselves, we'd power through all these topics without a hitch.
Ha, true. Maybe mix in some of that exploratory spirit and we're good to go. Let's dive into more on this space and see where our discussions take us next. Well, that wraps up another exciting episode of AI Unchained. We've covered a lot of ground today, from the latest innovations in artificial intelligence to the ever-changing landscape of business and politics.
Absolutely, Jack. I think our discussion on the impact of emerging AI technologies in the workplace really hit home. It's clear that while there are challenges, there's also tremendous potential for positive change.
Definitely. And of course, our lively debate on the current political climate and its intersection with technology was as heated as ever. But hey, that's what makes this show so engaging.
Exactly, Jack. It's all about bringing different perspectives to the table and stirring up some thought-provoking conversations. And let's not forget the humor. We can't be all serious all the time.
Haha, right. Speaking of humor, I still can't get over your joke about the robot bartender. He serves up algorithms on the rocks.
Hey, someone's got to lighten the mood around here. But seriously, thank you to our audience for tuning in. Your support and feedback keep us motivated to bring you the latest and greatest each week.
Yes, thank you everyone for joining us today on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights.
And remember, whether you're an AI enthusiast, a business mogul, or just someone who loves a good debate, we've got something for you. Keep those questions and comments coming.
That's right. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and most of all, stay unchained. See you next time.
Take care, everyone.